Nylander in the lineup tonight. What are we doing with this guy? We know how it's going to end up. How does it start out? What would you do tonight?
Well, first of all, I am kind of surprised that he's in tonight rather than waiting till Saturday. But I think it's a clear message that, hey, they already expect a lot out of the $7 million a year that they're paying him in the 17 that he's going to make in the next 6 months. So saying that, probably about 18 minutes would be fair to say. The question is now, how do you fit him in? Where do you put him in? How much of a power play scenario does he see? Because we've seen it dominated by pretty much five guys so far. And now the onus is on Nylander to fit in right away, because Babcock expects him to fit in right away.
Nick, we talked about the power play earlier. Does it make more sense? Because obviously you're not taking Riley, Tavares, Marner, or Matthews off that power play. But do you put Nylander in that shot in the middle in Kadri's spot and move Kadri down? Or do you keep Nylander on the second power play and he's the guy who brings the puck into the zone?
Well, I think much like a scenario that we've seen San Jose Sharks in with Carlson and Burns, and there are times they've been together, and then a lot of times that he's trying to separate them. There's going to be a conscientious effort to get off the ice if you haven't already scored your power play goal in a minute. And I would believe that he'll probably see a second unit scenario early. But then who knows, by next week or the next couple of weeks, what that power play might look like. Listen, the obvious choice is Kadri. Let's face it. Everything else looks awfully good, like you just mentioned. At some point, you got to wonder the domino effect on everybody. And at some point, I think, you know, it'd be naive to sit there and say even bringing back Nylander won't affect Marner's ice time in certain scenarios, whether it's a key offensive zone face-off or, you know, how long does Marner stay on the power play if, in fact, you have a whistle, you know, a minute in, a minute and 10 in. So all of it will come into play. It's a coach's dream to have Babcock's, you know, issues fitting in Nylander in the lineup now.
But what about the general manager's nightmares? Because now he's got Nylander all signed up, and now he's going to have to start attacking the next two guys, and they're coming in at bigger numbers.
Well, there's no question that with so much focus on Nylander going towards December 1st, that's all it was about. But now you can start focusing on a few other things. Last week on Hockey Night, we mentioned in the second intermission, there's a possibility that Jake Gardner negotiations could heat up a little bit. They want him back. They just don't want him back at a hefty price or even at a market value for a 50-point guy. So that would be up to Jake whether or not he's looking at a minimal raise opposed to the one that everybody expects he'll get if he goes to unrestricted free agency. So that's one scenario. I'm curious to see where he goes with talks with Matthews and Marner right now. And do we get a sense of urgency there to wrap this up well before the back half of the season, and certainly well before restricted free agency, where there's been a lot of talk about the new wave of teams thinking that signing RFAs is an option here. So we'll probably have a pretty good feel in the next 10 to 14 days on maybe what the strategy of Kyle Dubas and the management team will be.
Nick, we know that Lou let Bozak and JVR walk for nothing, and we know that Jake Gardner is an unrestricted free agent, and clearly they need him on the blue line if they're going to make a run. But are we sure Kyle Dubas, you know, is okay with potentially letting Jake Gardner walk for nothing? Because that's an asset you could fetch a ton for at the deadline, and I'm not advocating to trade Jake Gardner, but is Kyle Dubas going to have the same line of thinking that Lou Lamoriello did, let him walk for nothing when that guy you could get a pretty penny for?
Yeah, I'm not convinced of that. So in saying that, there is a possibility he could get traded. And the question is, for what? And there's no doubt that, you know, D out, D in would have to come into play. And if you can find someone that you think is more suited for the playoffs, then that's very realistic. And you may have to give up 20, 30 points, that offense, that ability to jump up on the play. But again, and you know, I think Jake's come a long way in the last little while, just in terms of minimizing, you know, the defensive errors we've seen in the past. But is it enough? And is it enough for the Leafs to sit there and say this particular style of play can win us two or three rounds? Or at some point, are we going to have to add some grit moving forward? I've already seen a little bit of a change in the last 2 weeks of style of play. I'm seeing more physicality, noticing a few more timely fights. And we'll see where that trend goes in the next month or two. But it does get tougher. And playoffs look a lot more like what the Leafs saw against the Boston Bruins last season than that freewheeling style that we've seen the last 4 weeks in the month of November. So that's another interesting one for Kyle and Brendan Shanahan to sit there and say, are we okay with this lineup right now, or do we need to get a little tougher? Do we need some more sandpaper here? And if that's the case, then Jake can be a piece that can help you get there.
Hockey insider Nick Kypreos, how important is it to make sure that your goaltender's not tired before the season ends? We're looking at, and the games are spaced out there, no back-to-back games until the end of this month, and he's playing great. He's right up there with anybody in the league right now, and yet the minutes are piling. The games are piling up. Do you get Garrett Sparks a start somewhere around here, or you just keep on rolling?
No, I think at some point you gotta fit him in, and you got to get him feeling like he's a part of this. And I've been a part of teams where the tandem between the starter and the backup has been outstanding. Sometimes it can throw a little bit of a curveball in your dressing room in terms of the awkwardness sometimes if a guy doesn't feel like he's really part of a team. So, you know, I'm not overly worried right now, Elliot, on Anderson getting tired right now. I watch his style of play, and it's not overly taxing. He is so strong, fundamentally, playing the percentages in terms of, you know, where he needs to come out of the net, how much he has to work to get back into the net, post to post. He's very efficient. So I don't worry about that right now, but at some point there's going to be a mental test for him, more than physical. And when he needs a break or he needs a little bit of an adjustment between now and the end of the season, Sparks has got to feel good about going in the net. More importantly, the team has to feel good about Sparks going into that net. And right now, it's still a work in progress.
Nick Kypreos, insider NHL on Sportsnet and Hockey Night in Canada. Thank you, Nick. Next week.
Okay, guys, have a great day. Enjoy the Nylander debut tonight on Sportsnet.